Rachel Artner. Okay, so she'll return, then we'll make a hoo-ha. She's having her birthday today. It is her birthday, eh? So make sure to make a fuss out of that. We are so glad that she can join us and have her birthday with us, guys. It's awesome. Are you alive today?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you still strong? Okay, just stand up quickly. greet the person next to you and say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Please, let's get some life in this place." And because the Lord is the Lord over our lives, we celebrate and rejoice in Him. Okay, so it looks like you guys are a little bit loosened now. Rachel, welcome. It's really such a blessing to have you with us on your birthday as well. We celebrate that with you, and this coming year, may it be a blessing. Okay, we are really looking forward to see God's goodness in your life. And your children, they're beautiful. I got to know them a little bit more on, what is that farm?
Dean City
Farm. That Dean, I thought it was, yeah, your family farm, but it's Dean City Family Farm. So we had a good time there, and they very well behaved, blessings of children. So we're looking forward to spend time with them as well. I've got a sore throat, and it's Jackie's fault. No, I'm joking. Jackie got the blame for this from the encounters already. But please bear with me. We're going to have an awesome time this morning. Yesterday was a lot of suffering. Eduard took us on a paintball game there. Where is that place? Cobham. And not just are our bodies very sore this morning, but also a lot of blue marks all over. So guys, the bruises are the sign of the suffering. You can ask Eduard to lift his shirt afterwards, and you can observe. He looks like a leopard this morning. Okay. Ach, it's beautiful, eh? It's just awesome to be in the presence of God. Is it not amazing to spend time with God? We did not come here to spend time because of a habit, and because you guys could have enjoyed blue skies and the sunshine on this Sunday. You could have chosen to actually do anything else, but you chose to come to the house of the Lord. And you know, it's so beautiful to spend time with the Lord. I'm just so, again, so convicted the last few weeks about, you know, serving the Lord and knowing that He's a person. And as we spend time with Him, it's not about church. It's not about even the church structures. It's about knowing this person, Jesus, better. And I'm speaking about this. And if you've missed some of the sermons that I've preached, please go on the website and go and listen to them. Not because I want to be famous, but because I want us to travel this journey together. God is convicting me about a few things, and I believe that He's bringing us back to the basics of loving Him as we should. And so this morning I'm going to talk about something that I actually touched on last week. We were a glorious five last week because of the holidays. But it was awesome time in the presence of God, and I hope that afterwards we'll be able to spend some time together as well. Something that God is convicting me about, and just, you know, we know that we must get our character to be built, but something that really forms and shapes our character a lot is suffering. And as I'm continuing talking about this person, Jesus, we must talk about the fact that that He's always with us, that He's in control. And this morning we sang it actually. And I want to have that conversation with you this morning. I want us to talk about it. Because there's a few scriptures that's actually going to convict you about the way that we sometimes forget how God is in control of our lives. The fact that, you know, there's nothing that God is not in control of. And as we surrender to Him and allow Him to become a greater essence of our lives and priority in our lives, we start to experience His character more. And I want to talk about the man of suffering. I would say, after Jesus, probably the one that suffered the most, and that is Job. And I'm going to read a few scriptures this morning about Job and his suffering. And I hope that it's going to help you to actually come to the place. Now, I've mentioned it last week, and I want to say it again. Testing comes from God. Oh, there was one that listened last week. Testing comes from God. Okay. Temptation comes from Satan. Okay. Testing leads to character. Okay. If you pass the test with testing, your character gets built. Tribulation comes into our lives so that our character gets built and we get to be shaped and formed more to the character of Christ. Okay. So, then when it comes to temptation, what does that lead to if we give in to temptation? Sin. Okay. So, it's easy to see the difference. Now, I want to talk about it this morning. And so, let's just read what suffering is about. Suffering is losing something that you previously had and experiencing the consequence of being without it. Okay? We've had a little bit of suffering coming to the UK, having to give up our stuff in South Africa and loved ones in South Africa. So we've left certain things behind, and so when my wife still opens the cupboard or she is struggling for space, I see at least Rachel, you guys are suffering for space there as well, then, you know, we are reminded of the loss that we have currently. Now, that does not sound like a lot of loss to you, but sometimes my wife is crying. Lost is to be deprived of something that brings a lack to you. Okay, so let's read it again. Lost is to be deprived of something that brings a lack to you. Now, guys, we're talking about a loss, and you know, when it gets to life, there's many things that we can talk about when it gets to suffering and loss. But it sounds so academically this morning, but I can tell you, when you lose something that is dear to you, and when you even are in a status quo of change, you start to ask very serious questions about, you know, why is God changing your life, and why is God bringing this over your path? And so, questions that we often ask when we get to struggle with God is God good? Okay, is God alive? Is God in control of our lives? Does God really care? And this is relevant questions, because if you are in a place of suffering and going through a lot of hardship, you are confronted by the fact that you know, you've got a God that that often feels in a distance when you are going through suffering. And so God is challenging us, and I don't want to even go to Romans 5 and, you know, James 1 this morning, which is such relevant scriptures. Go and read them about suffering and about being tested. But there's a loss of loved ones. Someone passed away that was very close to you. Somebody was removed out of your life, and it's painful. A loss of health. You've got a physical disability that you feel God did not come through for you. A loss of broken relationships. Maybe divorce. Maybe family fights. A loss and a lack of finance.
you needed financial breakthrough, and it feels to you as if God came through for you, and this often happens in our lives. A loss of an ability, you feel you don't have what it takes to overcome certain challenges. A loss of dignity, somebody did not honor you as a person and you offended. A loss of a desire to live, you don't see a future for yourself, no reason for living. And then you start to ask God some serious questions. Now I want to talk about, why do we go through suffering? You know, why do we need to, and this morning I want to be clear, we as Christians should not be suffering freaks. Because I see a lot of Christians being suffering freaks. People that often boast upon how they suffer for the Lord and how difficult their circumstances is. And I've seen even churches being formed around this principle. When you get into the church, it's strange how all the stories that they tell is about how they suffer, and they almost feel bad if things are going well. They can't boast upon the things that's actually going well. They always must talk about how hard they work for the kingdom and how hard they are busy, forming their lives and disciplining their lives to the Lord and to do things for the Lord. And then realize, but okay, guys, but are you enjoying at least what you are doing? Are you enjoying being a Christian? Because often we as Christians become suffering freaks. And I can tell you, if we can get closer to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus in our lives, we would miss a lot of suffering as well. Because we will find contentment with Him, and we will navigate ourselves through our circumstances. But unfortunately, sometimes we become broken reeds within our Christian walk with the Lord. And if you don't deal with it, the consequence of that is always a repetitive cycle happening in our lives. Now, I see many people being stuck in certain cycles in their lives, always repeating. And we spoke about it on Free Your Thoughts 4 weeks ago. But I see these repetitions, and then suffering becomes such a lifestyle that you forget to live life. That God actually brought us to a place where we should have contentment in Him. And so, you know, the first thing that is important about understanding suffering is that it is testing in our lives. And I want to read Job chapter 1, verse 1 to 12 then. A lot of scripture reading this morning. Please keep up with me. Dong, or should I ask Eduard, when it gets too hot in this place, let's get that aircon for a few minutes running. Okay, I know it becomes too cold as well. If you guys, especially there, I know that spot in and around there can become very cold sometimes. But if we can just get that thing going from time to time. Job 1 verse 1 to 12. In the land of Uz, there was a blameless and upright man named Job. Okay, tell me, what was Job? Okay, are you awake this morning? He was a blameless and upright man. What does it mean? Joseph? Okay. He was a good man. He did things that was right. Listen to this. Who feared God and avoided evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters was born to him. 7 sons. David, is there still hope to catch up? 3 daughters were born. But it looks like with the addition of the family in that area, it's possible. And he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a great number of work animals, so that he was greater than any of the men of the East. I don't know how you can get excited about a donkey, but it was a lot of donkeys. His sons used to take turns giving feasts, sending invitations to their 3 sisters to eat and drink with him. And when each feast had run its course, Job would send for them and sanctify them, rising early and offering holocausts for every one of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and blasphemed God in their hearts. This Job did habitually. One day, and this sounds like more of a commitment than many of us, and even myself, would do to my family. One day, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan also came among them. So there was a heavenly council, and there was a heavenly talk. Now, I can just imagine this was quite a talk, and it was part of the heavenly council. And the Lord said to Satan, whence do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming the earth and patrolling it. And the Lord said to Satan, do you know that the devil also patrols what's happening here on the earth? And the Lord said to Satan, have you noticed my servant Job, and that there is no one on earth like him, blameless and upright, fearing God and avoiding evil? But Satan answered the Lord and said, it is for nothing that Job is God-fearing. Have you not surrounded him and his family and all that he has with your protection? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his livestock are spread over the land. But now, put forth your hand and touch anything that he has, and surely he will blaspheme you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand upon his person. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Then chapter 2 verse 4. Chapter 2 verse 4 to 10. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. All that a man has will he give for his life. But now put forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and surely he will blaspheme you to your face. So the devil did that against Job. And he returns to the Lord, and this is what he's saying. And the Lord said to Satan, he is in your power, only spare his life. So listen, as the story unfolds, we see the boundaries of this discussion being shifted. First, it's everything that he owns. And now it's beyond that, even to his family, to the people that he loves. Listen to this, he says, so Satan went from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with the severe boils, from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself as he sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, are you still holding to your innocence? Now, guys, I don't know about you, but having such a wife would be a difficult one. In the midst of your circumstances, to be confronted by such a question, curse God and die. But he said to her, are even you going to speak as senseless women do? We accept good things from the God and should not accept evil. Though all this, Job said nothing sinful. This is a godly man. This is a godly man with godly intentions and a commitment to do whatever is right. So there in heaven, there's a council sitting and talking about one man called Job, which is the most upright person on the whole earth. So I want to say to you, you may be the most upright person in Shofar. You may be the most upright person in London. But being the most upright person in the world is quite a thing. And yet, God is allowing Job to go through testing. If Job had to go through testing, I want to tell you, you and I will go through the same. Do you know that these discussions about your life also happens in heaven? Do you know that these same principles is applied in your life. And so all of us decide on how we actually go through life and make certain decisions concerning our lives. And yet my question to you today would be, is God in control of Job's life? No, not the pastor. Why do you say that? Jen, go for it. It sounds... Exactly. God determines how far we get tested. You know what God's promise to you and I is? He will never test us beyond what we can deal with. I want to say to you this morning, even though it feels like your circumstances is overwhelming you, even though it feels like there's certain things in your life that, you know, already overshadowed your life and it's almost impossible to get out of it, I want to tell you that God's commitment to you as a person is that you will never be tested beyond what you can deal. And so God gives this assignment to a man that was so blessed, that was so committed to Him, even though he could actually hear God's voice and he could do what is right. And then he had to overcome this test. Now I'm telling you, this is a beautiful story, but if you today would lose everything that you have, as well as all your family, you would curse God. I don't know about you, but I'm not godly enough. I will not stand the test of time. I will not be able to go beyond my circumstances and stand on the other side and say, oh, I don't have a Zoe anymore. I don't have a Melanie anymore. I don't have Anna anymore. But God, I'm still worshiping you. Are you with me this morning? We think this is a beautiful story, but this is actually tragic. It's painful. And it brings them to such a loss that this man Job was having discussions with God and said to God, God, I don't want to live anymore. I'm struggling through this. I'm struggling through the difficult circumstances that I'm going through. And so Job was the ultimate man of suffering because he lost his loved ones, his finances, his health, his dignity, all the things that we've mentioned. Ability, his desire to live. Job did not deserve to be punished, but yet God allowed it in his life. Was God aware of Job's suffering? Yes, he was. Was God in control of his suffering? Yes, very much so. God called the shots. I want to say to you, when things are going difficult in your life, one thing we know is God is in control. And wherever He gives us an assignment, He will give us the breakthrough. He will give us the door of escape. God put a hedge around Job. God decided what happens to Job, and Satan obeyed God's word. So I want to tell you this morning, this notion that the devil is in control of the world and he's doing whatever he wants in London and in the rest of the world is nonsense. Because he can only do that which God allows him to do. Because God is all powerful. And I want to say to you, if that is the understanding that you and I have, if we know that God has called me to a place such as this at this time, and even though there would come suffering, because it will come, I must stay put to what God has called me to. I will be able to stand if I keep focusing on the God that is in control of my life, the one who calls the shots. The question is God really calling the shots in your life? And are you allowing Him? God stay in control of your life, and Satan cannot contradict that. God is in control of our lives, and sometimes He allows suffering. So the second thing about suffering that we must know is that suffering comes because of a consequence of sin. And often I've seen this in the ministry over the years. You know, people don't understand why they're going through suffering, and then you must sometimes remind them that, listen, there's some consequences to decisions that you make in your life as well. You know, David was such a person. David was a man that served the Lord, and maybe I should quickly read it to you. 2 Samuel 12, verse 9 to 19. If you have your Bibles here, I prefer it if you have your Bible here, because it's just awesome to spend time in the Word of God. Why, verse 9 of 2 Samuel 12, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up an adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before you, before your eyes, and give them to your neighbor. You shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die, however, because by this deed you have given your great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. And David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him and to raise him up from the ground. But he would not, nor did he eat food with him. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. The servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. When David saw that the servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is this child dead? They said, he is dead. And David rose, and I'm paraphrasing now, he rose, he ate, and he strengthened himself. I want to say to you, David was a sinful man in many regards. He was still God's chosen. The blessing was that David could not deny that God was in control of his life. And so David had to go through certain consequences because of very bad decisions that he made in his life. Now, I want to tell you, some of the time we are going through difficult circumstances just because we've made the wrong choice. And as soon as we can repent about it and move on and break that cycle over our lives, the problem is just if we don't repent and allow God to bring healing, we will never be able to go beyond the cycle of death that was spoken through sin in our lives. I want to just say to you, you know, for my children, if I remember little Annemart, okay, this is going to be edited today. don't worry. I remember when she was small, she burnt her hand on the stove. And she said, Dad, it's so sore. And we took the ice, and after the ice was applied to the hand, she still said, it's so painful. And for a week after that, it was still very raw, and painful on her hand. Even though she knew that we said to her, don't touch the stove, the consequence of touching the stove meant that she had to go through a process of healing. And that was a reminder that next time she won't touch the stove again. And sometimes the pain in our lives is so important to embrace and to make part of us and to learn through our circumstances. I can tell you, I've been through a lot of pain in ministry through the years. It's the relational scars. You know, stuff that happened to me. People that disappoint you. And yet you stand up after that and you say, God, come and heal my heart. And as a consequence to that, the decision that you make to actually receive healing in your life. And I want to tell you this morning, some of it was stupidity from my side. Stupid decisions that I made that I had to repent before God of. And as I repented of it, God could come and speak into my life. And He could allow me to receive healing. So we go through suffering because of decisions that we make. God is in control of our lives, and sometimes He allows sufferings, but He also helps us to work through our poor decision making so that we will build our character. Number three, suffering is for a purpose. If you look at Joseph's life, Joseph probably didn't deserve it except for the fact that he was quite arrogant. And he probably made a few very terrible mistakes. But yet, through all of that, Joseph went through a lot of suffering for the sake of Israel. God used these circumstances to turn things around, not just in Joseph's life, but so that it could be for a purpose. And I want to tell you, sometimes we, in our lives, go through difficult circumstances, not just because of us, but because of the people around us, and because of God's divine plan. And Jesus was the same. Jesus was blameless. He was upright. And yet He had to go through certain difficult circumstances so that you and I can receive our healing. Are you with me this morning? Who are you with me this morning? Suffering is not easy, but it's for a purpose. And so, God uses it in our lives. And then fourthly, before we talk about how do we overcome suffering, and Elizabeth getting me just something to blow my nose with, please, Elizabeth. Number four, we live in an unfair, sinful world. And so we go through suffering because of other people's wrong choices. We live in a sinful world. And yet God uses our circumstances. Okay, everyone look at Elizabeth. Before you lose your attention span, yeah. Okay, thank you. The visitor is a graceful, thanks. You're already part of the family. So, we live in a sinful world. Guys, let me just tell you, when a baby gets raped or a young person gets raped, that does not mean that they've done anything wrong. It's sad. It's a disgrace. But yet, I can tell you, we are in a sinful world. And being in a sinful world means that you and I come to a place where we also go through the consequences of other people's decisions. And in doing so, God can work everything for the good for those we love. And therefore, there's no circumstances that can carry us down if we know that God is in control of our lives and He allows us to overcome those circumstances. And in making the choice to actually come to overcoming, helps us to live a life of overcoming. And so how do we overcome suffering? And I want to ask you to make notes here, if you can. If you have a pen and paper with you, because I want to trust that some of these things are going to help you to sort out a lot of devastation in the past. And I'm telling you, none of us are excluded from this. Don't run away from your pain. Face it. The first one. Don't run away from your pain. Face it. Always temptation is to run from God. I'm going to run for this tissue now. But away from God, when we go through suffering, we isolate ourselves and we go into a self-pity state where we start to ponder and lick our wounds rather than to face the pain in our lives and deal with it and run to God. Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Zephaniah 3 verse 17, He will quiet you with His love. When I approach God, He heals. It hurts, but it brings healing. You come face to face with your pain. Although healing is a process, time does not heal. Face pain before it haunts you for the rest of your life. Now I want to say, guys, there is a saying, time does heal. Time does not heal. There's people that sit with pain for decades. I know adults in this world that behaves like children because of pain that they was inflicted upon their lives when they were children, and they never grew from there. They're still in the state of immaturity that they was when that pain was inflicted. I want to tell you, time is not going to bring healing to that person. It's the choice to deal with it that's going to bring healing. It's the choice to face the pain and come to God and know that God is the healer. To know that only God can bring healing in your life. And I want to say to you guys, we find, the second one is, we find our comfort in people, and people fails us. Can I just say that this morning? You know what we naturally do when we go through difficult circumstances and pain? We run to the one person, to the next, to the next, to the next. And you know what? You've received counsel from the one that agrees with your pain. The sad reality of it is, you're not going to overcome that pain if you only go with people that agrees with you. So I see that all the time with Christians. I see how they run from their pain. They go to other people. You give them advice. They go to the next person. They say, no, but this person said, I must do this. But you know what? You will only agree to the person that agrees with you if you go according to your natural instinct. And so you will never get to your healing. And I want to say to you, people, and that's my third point, people can support, and they should support, and you must look for support in times of trouble. But people are not going to bring healing. Until you go to God and you face the music, there's not going to be healing. And so I've seen many Christians, you know, when they start to talk about their pain, they again go in that reasoning mode that we spoke about last week. The state of the flesh where you can convince people that you are right, that you can convince people that the action you are taking is actually the right one. And yet, thanks, now we've got an overflow. Are you with me this morning? Is this helping you? I want this conversation to go on. We must become whole people. Not because we want to present to the world a perfect church. Jesus will only be the only one to perfect His church. but because you want to live life. Because you want to live a life of contentment and freedom in the Lord. Time does not heal. Support from people is necessary, but it's not going to bring healing, so be clear on it. It's nice to go and indulge on two packets of big packets of chips with your best friends, or what's it, crisps here in the UK. To go and indulge and overindulge on chocolate with that best friend. And yet afterwards you will even feel worse. Thanks, Dr. Dean. God sends support in our lives. He sends certain friendships. And you know what? The friends normally that God places in difficult circumstances in our lives is not even the people that we thought would be the obvious choice. It's sometimes the most awkward people. The people that you didn't expect. And yet God sends them, and you know that their insight in your life is not as cool as you would want them to advise you on. But it's godly. I want to just say three things about friendship that is important. If you want a friend, be a friend. Do you know what happens through rejection? When we get offended and hurtful in this life, we start to push people away from us. We start to make sure that they keep as far away as possible from us, so that we don't need to deal with relationships. And I want to tell you, the worst thing that you can do is to go and sit in a corner and sulk about your circumstances and not reach out to other people. If you want a friend, stop complaining about the church that's so hostile and cold and not friendly and not friendship based. Go and be a friend to somebody in the church, and they will become your friend as well. Because friendship comes from two sides. And what I've seen with rejected people, people that go through hurt, they normally withdraw. And in doing so, the distance between them and other people just becomes stronger and stronger. And at the end, the offense starts to grow bigger and bigger until they just walk out of the church. I want to say to you, don't fall into that trap. If you go through suffering, reach out to people beyond yourself. That's my second thing about friendship, is that you respect people's boundaries as well. Proverbs 25 verse 17 says something that I think is precious. Seldom set food in your neighbor's house. Set food in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. You know, it's strange how some people would enforce themselves upon your life. And I want to say to you, you know what? When it gets to friendship, make sure that you respect the boundaries of friends around you as well. Respect them for who they are as well. Don't abuse friendship. Number four, I can't spend too much time, but number four, do not deny your pain. Do not fall into self-pity. Have you seen people in this life that has a sticker on them? Explosion about to happen. Woo! Are you with me? There's some people that when you approach them, they're just ready to be ignited. Okay? When you say anything to them, they just snap on you. Okay? And I want to say to you, guys, when we don't face our pain and we fall into self-pity, we are like a bomb ready to explode because we don't deal with the issues in our lives. Now I want to ask you, make sure that you don't bundle up. It will bring yourself to an explosion someday. Number five, don't join a pity party. Be surrounded by positive people. Psalm 42 verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Can I just say to you this morning, you know what you naturally do as well when you go through pain? You go to other people that go through pain themselves because they can associate with you. The sad reality of that is that's not going to help you to get out of your pain. Although it's good to actually be heard, be careful not to fall into a self-pity party where you start to talk about the cycles of pain in your life the whole time. Some friendships should not happen in certain seasons of your life. There's certain people that you must avoid in certain seasons of your life. And negative people should not be part of your life when you are going through suffering. Make sure that you encircle yourself with the kind of people that can speak into your life and bring hope and tell you, no, listen, there's at least something to be grateful of. That can say to you, listen, there's at least something beautiful that's happening here. Can we just look at the brighter side of life? Do you know why God wants us to thank Him? It helps us. It reminds us of His goodness in our lives. I do it often. I try to every time when I speak to the Lord, when I pray to Him, I start with thanksgiving. And I want to ask you to do the same. You cannot talk to God if you don't allow Him to be recognized in your life. And so the reason why I'm doing it, because it brings hope to me. If I remind myself at the end of a day, or even in the beginning of a day, about what God has done in my life, it helps me to actually be positive. To know that everything was not bad. Because the natural tendency within our lives is always to complain about the things that's not happening. Rather than to come to a place where we understand that there is things going. It's actually overwhelming more so than the few things that go wrong. And the enemy wants us to believe that he's overpowering us. And yet, if we remind ourselves about the goodness of God, we start to believe in the awesome presence of God in our lives and His strength. The fact that He's in control, and whilst He's in control, we are fine. You will survive. Jackie, you will survive. The school will not kill you. You will make this term and it will be blessed. Our circumstances often overwhelm us because we don't focus on the positive things. Don't join a pity party. Number six, reach out and be a blessing to others. Listen to this. Listen to Job in the midst of his circumstances. Listen, this guy's busy dying. Listen to him. He says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Hey, woo, are you with me? Guys, you know what my prayers look like when I am going through difficult circumstances? I complain to God the whole time about what's going wrong with me. I'm not praying for my friends or even for my wife. Okay, the pastor is the only sinful one in this house. Looks like, David, you're too perfect. Guys, you know what's happening? We don't focus beyond ourselves when we focus on our pain alone. And if we reach out to other people, we're going to receive our healing. Listen to this. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him. He ate food with them in his house, and they consoled with him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. You know what's your reward when you start to pray for other people out of your pain? God is going to bless you. Not that should be the focus, but the fact is, that's a reality. Out of our own pain, we start to minister to other people, and we start to be a blessing to them, and we receive our healing. Are you with me this morning? We need to reach out. And you know what naturally happens? We say, if I can just go through this difficult circumstance, and you know, whenever I get through this, I'll be able to, you know, be able to facilitate at encounters, or you know, I will be able to do ministry for the Lord. It will never happen. The strange thing about this is, if you don't break the cycle, pain will be inflicted upon you every time. You will never be ready until you make a decision to get out of the pain. Until you make a decision to get out of the suffering mode into a place where you start to focus on God. Are you with me? Job is praying for his friends. Healing will come through bringing healing to others. When we experience suffering, we realize that we are not in control of our lives and we need God desperately. Number 7. Make a definite choice before the testing comes. Listen to Job 2 verse 9 again. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast in your integrity? Curse God and die. Do you know in your circumstances when things get difficult? You'll make the wrong choice if you did not make that choice beforehand already on the values that you embrace. This is a difficult one. Listen to me. If you, and this might be a worst case scenario, I know you're very godly people. If you don't make a choice to abstain from sexual intercourse before marriage, when temptation comes, you're going to fall. You need to make that decision well in advance to stay strong. You must settle that with God. I want to say to you, Job made a choice in his life. It doesn't matter what my circumstances, doesn't matter what is going to change in my life, I will serve the Lord my God and I will worship Him in the midst of my most difficult circumstances. If he did not make that decision beforehand, I can promise you, Job would not be at a place where he could stand the one closest to him here on earth, and that was his wife. And yet he made a decision and he said, listen, not even if my wife comes against me will I curse God, because I don't do things like that. I serve the Lord my God because I love Him. Because I know He's a loving God, I don't believe the lie that He wants to curse me. I don't believe the lie that He's not in control of my life. And in doing so, God could bring Job to a place of overcoming. Of overcoming. Daniel chapter 3 verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, it is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. Now, if you are ready at this time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall cast immediately into the midst of burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which we have set up, which you have set up. These men withstood the fiery furnace because they made a choice beforehand to be focused on their God. I want to say to you guys, difficult circumstances is going to come, suffering is going to come into your life. The choice is yours, and you must make it now. Are you going to stay focused on what God has done in your life, and is doing, and is going to do in the future? Is God faithful? Is He still in control of your life? Number 8, we're almost there, guys, and then you're going to allow God to do something in your heart this morning. Number 8, gain from suffering. Humble yourself and learn from your brokenness. Job 42, verse 1-6. Listen to this. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You recognize that through the Psalms, David would fight with the Lord about, you know, is God fair, is God not fair? And at the end, God would always win the battle. He would always come back to recognize that, God, you are actually perfect. I am but just a worm. But yet, you are serious enough about me that you would bless me. Guys, God is awesome. To serve Him and His purposes is awesome. Going through suffering brings us to a place where we must admit that we gain from suffering if we reflect back on what God has been doing in our lives. But make sure that you gain. Because if you don't go through this test and be successful, you're going to return to this test and go through it again. I don't want to be in the wilderness for 40 years and going around Sinai for 100 times. I want to make sure that I actually get to the promised land, the promises that God has for my life. There's a certain calling that God has upon my life, and you know what? I want to see it coming to fruition, and then I want to die. Because I want to be with Jesus. But until then, I must be faithful and focused. And it's the quicker I can get there, the quicker I'm out of this place. In God's timing. I cannot hasten the Lord on how He's going to do it. But what I can tell you, I want to be faithful to the things that He's called me to. Number 9. This is probably the last one. So relax, please. Stand strong. Go to the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's not just giving us directing in our healing. but it also is a light on our direction for transparency and healing. I want to say to you guys, if we cannot admit to one another the wrongdoing that's happening in our lives, and we start to actually confess these things to one another, we're going nowhere slowly. We are too churchianity. Focused. Thanks for thinking at least now with me. Guys, you know what? We want to always try to be among one another, and we know what to say. We know how to act with one another, and it always looks like everything is perfect. Let's be real. Things are not always all right. I've admitted in the small group this week, I neglect my family. I sometimes must focus more on them and discipling them. I'm honest with them. You know why? Because if we don't do that, we are fooling one another. When I read the Word of God and I use it as a mirror to reflect upon it and read in the Word of God, and I can see that this amazing Word of God is not always how my life looks like. That's where the change can happen. Stop living church lives. Jesus is a person, and He's committed to you and I. To receive our healing, to come before Him, and be honest about our mistakes. The Word of God don't just convict us, it brings light to our being. Do you know what? When it shines upon our mistakes, we must be honest about the fact that God, we desperately need you. As the worship team comes to the front, because we're going to do business with God this morning. Job chapter 42. Listen to this. This is beautiful. Verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. Yuck. Still trying to figure out that blessing. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he, the one coming from Kimberley there is laughing because that's where all the donkeys come from in the world. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. So if he saw one day we will all love donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. 7 sons. Remember, he had 7 kids. This time he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third, that beautiful name. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. Their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. I don't know if that is a blessing, but living too long is also not a blessing. And saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died, old and full of days.
Let's stand.
Can we quickly stand, please? Guys, who's in control of our lives. You will fear the one that you... you will serve the one that you fear. I fear the Lord because I love Him. I want to do and please Him in my life. And I recognize that life is not that easy. If this morning I was a prosperity preacher, I would say to you, it's all good. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. And it is so. But it comes with suffering. And suffering becomes scars that you and I will boast upon. And I always say to people, listen, next year, we'll look back at this and we'll laugh at the circumstances. We'll laugh at the days when we had to carry things upstairs. And there was chaos. We'd look back at the times, my wife, when we had to sacrificially give up things and come here. We'll look back and we'll laugh at it. It will be the scars that's beautiful because it will be scars of authority in our lives. It will be the things that we are reminded of because of the beauty of the story that it represents. There's many stories that I can tell you about my life. Me and my wife, it was not an easy walk in the park all the time in the ministry. But it was blessed. You know why? Because God was in it. And I just love walking that road with God. The fact that we are not alone. And that God cares more for you than He's cared for, or that you care for yourself. So why would He not give you the best? Let's bow our heads this morning. And I want us to just sing a worship song. The worship team will be leading us into a song. And guys, I want to just say to you, as we do that, I cannot bring you healing. I'm not here to do it, and I'm not even interested. Because I'm not your healer. I can support you as far as I can. You've got the most beautiful support in the pastoral staff that is here in this church. But guess what? It's only support. You need to connect with God to receive healing. And this morning my desire is that you and I would just come and bring our pain to God. Just allow Him to come and speak into our lives. So if we worship now, make sure you connect with God. If you need prayer, please come to the front and we'll be praying with you, not to expose you, but for the memorial stone that it represents. To actually walk into the presence of God. So I want to ask you, as we worship now, spend time with God. If you feel that you've settled with God, there's probably some coffee. Where's Mel is at? They should, and there will be coffee and some eats. Come and join it with us. But let's consecrate this place to allow God to leave us in awkward moments of His presence. And I'm calling it awkward because I've been in small groups where it's awkward when you stay silent and nobody speaks. And have you been in such small groups? Strange. We cannot live with silence. I'm asking you this morning, get used to silence. Get used to spending time with God so that He can bring healing in your life. Amen.
God gave me three words for today. Dads, sisters, and animals. But for dads, hear authority. For sisters, hear peers. And for animals, hear stuff. There's people in hospital who they put their hand on your pain to make it painful. You don't realize it's there. And I think that's all I want to do. For people in authority, I think we've suffered at the hands of parents, we've suffered at the hands of pastors, we've suffered at the hands of bosses. For peers, we've suffered because of siblings, we've suffered because of colleagues, we've suffered because of neighbors. And some of us have suffered through stuff. We've lost a job, or we've lost money, or we've lost a house. And that's what I just think God was showing me, just to highlight some of the areas in which we do suffer, through which we suffer, so that as we worship God now, we can worship Him, not in spite of those, but because of those and through those. So be specific with God. Healing, He wants to do specific healings this morning.